Thank you very much, Eric. And shall we just sing that little chorus we sang this morning? He touched me, and you sang it so well. I thought, well, I'd sing it again tonight. Amen. And maybe the Lord will touch you tonight. Wouldn't that be exciting? If the Almighty touched you, that'd be good. Shackled by a heavy burden. I'm sure you know the words. If you don't, come often enough and you'll get to know them as one way to learn. Amen? Okay, let's sing it. Thank you. Okay now, good singing. Shackled by a heavy burden.
Very much. You covered up my mistakes. Amen. I've got a voice like a baritone. Everything baritone, but I just love praising the Lord. Amen. It's good to praise the Lord. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you again for the wonderful time we had this morning. And now, O Lord, bless us as we gather around thy word this evening. You touch our hearts, Lord, because we need a touch. And everyone here, and so, Lord, speak to us with your mighty power, whatever our need is, O Lord, speak to us tonight and encourage us, strengthen us, and lift us up for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Will you turn with me back to the third chapter of John's Gospel tonight? And we're going to look again at another verse from that great chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we'll read together. I'll read with you from verse 9. We've been reading about Nicodemus and what it meant to be born again this morning. But from verse 9, I'd like just to read with you and look with you at what we have before us. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. I'm sure God will bless to us the reading of his own precious and holy word this evening. The verse I want to leave with you is that masterpiece of all verses, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And as we look at this tonight, we've been looking at the thought of the reality in a non-real world. And I want to think of the reality of love tonight, and there is no better verse, I believe, that we could look at it than from the reality of the love of God that is shown in John 3:16. You know, the days we're living in, I don't know about you, but I get a little confused in the sense that some of the very wonderful words that I grew up with are changing their meaning. Isn't that right? We think of helping people. We used to talk about AIDS, but no longer we want to talk about AIDS. We think about growing up, we thought of people who were very happy. We talked about being gay. We no longer talk about being gay. And isn't love another word that has really been mutilated, because really the word love has been substituted by the thought of lust, although we use the word love, but love has lost its meaning, hasn't it? If the Lord spares my wife and I, we'll maybe next year, we'll manage to get through our 25 years, and God bless us, she's done terrific. Now, I know that's not a record. I heard of a man who telephoned a number and got a wrong number. He thought he had hit the record store, and he asked the man on the other side. He said, "Tell me," he said, "do you have 25 tiny fingers and 20 tiny toes?" The man says, "No, but I've got a wife and 10 kids." He said, "Is that a record?" He said, "No, but it's above average." Well, you know, my friends, my getting to 25 years is not a record, but you know what's happening? It's becoming above average, isn't it? And you know, my dear friends, as we begin to look at this tonight, we saw how these words have changed. And I want to look with you at the reality of love tonight and the extensiveness of God's love. It says that God so loved. You see, when you're dealing with lust, lust is a very fickle thing. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But when you're dealing with love, it's a very real thing. And we see the description in this word. It's not an adjective, but I think it describes something of the greatness and the vastness of God's love, the extensiveness of God's love. Now, when you go through the Bible, you discover that God is a God who loves irrespective of people loving him. You and I are blessed in the sense that we have to love people who love us, and we respond in love. But do you think that any of us would ever get to heaven if God worked on the same premise that you and I love? You might come along tonight and you say, "Well, I don't even like that guy, never mind love him." Because, you know, we are so fickle that we have to find someone reaching out to us before we reach out to them. But in the case of God, we discover that it is God reaching out to man. It's a one-way traffic, and God was reaching out. Now, when you go through the Bible, this is love. God takes his prophet Hosea, and he says, "I'm going to give you an experience. This is the experience I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a wife who's going to become a harlot, a prostitute, and she is going to teach you some things about how I feel and what a wife she was." Hosea was continually going and getting this woman and bringing her back, and he was bringing her back, and she would go away again and go with other men. And this was the situation that was there. But you know what happened? Hosea would go out and get them. And then after the third chapter of Hosea, we discover God begins to deal with the nation and speaks through his prophet, who now understood how God felt, until finally they come to a point where God says, "Listen, do you think I could destroy you like I destroyed
Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of men, since it's Admah and Zeboam, it's the same cities, as same plain as Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, do you think I could destroy you with fire the way I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Then there's this great word from Hosea. He said, no, and this is what God is saying, for my heart is turned within me, for I am God and not man. You know what he's saying? He says, Israel, Ephraim, you nations, my people, you've rebelled, you've played the prostitute with me, but I love you, and I'm not going to destroy you, because I love you. And my love goes beyond your disobedience. You go look at the kind of people that God, that the Lord Jesus stopped and spoke to. You've got a man like Zacchaeus, the head of the Jericho Mafia. Boy, didn't he know how to count. He was a tax collector. You think the IRS is bad? Can you imagine sending your forms into Zacchaeus? Man, this fella, he counted this way, two to you and two to me too. He really did a lot. He knew how to do it. And yet, you know what? When the Lord passed by, looked up the tree, he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, because you know why? I'm coming to your home. And I'm coming right in there, Zacchaeus. And my, what a meeting that must have been in the home of Zacchaeus, because this man comes out and he's paying back all he stole and more than he stole. Why? Because Jesus made an impact in his life. Then you take a woman like the woman in the well. Will you go home and get your husband, dear? Is the Lord sitting on the well there, and he's just sitting talking, and she's out there for water, nobody else is there, and she's out there, and she's talking, and he's talking. He says, what about your husband? She said, I haven't got a husband. Ooh, you told the truth. He says, in fact, you've had five husbands, and the one you've got now isn't yours. You know what? Jesus looked at her, and he said, I know the emptiness of your life. I know the problems. I know what you're looking at. You've had five men, and the one you've got now isn't your husband. You are deeply looking for satisfaction. And you see this well? You can give me to drink from this well. How wonderfully our Lord used illustrations that people understood. For we're deeply thirsty, we want satisfaction. Oh, how we long when we're thirsty for that long, cool drink, that glass of water. I remember we used to say, I wish I had a throat a mile long so that I can enjoy it every inch of the way. Isn't that how you feel when you're thirsty? But my friend, the Lord Jesus looked into the life of this woman, and you know what he discovered in the life of this woman? He found in this individual someone who was unsatisfied, had gone through five men, was working on our sixth one, and you know what? She still wasn't satisfied. You know what Jesus said to her? He said, I want to tell you something. I'm going to give you, look at this well here. This well can satisfy the thirst of men and women physically. But I'm going to tell you something, dear, that is absolutely mind-blowing. Now, that's Aquinas paraphrasing of that chapter. He says, because I'm going to give you water, which is not in this well, which will be a well of water in you, springing up unto everlasting life, you will have satisfaction in you like you've never had in your life before. I am going to put it where you need it, right in you. You and I, my friends, don't need any more things. We don't need any more synthetic toys from this world. Because you know what we're having? We're discovering it's not satisfying. I saw a bumper sticker recently. It said, he who dies with the most ties wins. Who's kidding who? Nobody wins like that. My friend, he who dies with the most ties can be one of the most unhappy, dissatisfied people this side of eternity. My friends, Jesus looks at this woman and he says, listen, I'm going to give it to you where you need it. And that's in here. That's where you feel joy. Isn't that where you feel emotion? Isn't that where you feel love? Isn't that where you feel reality? And he says to this woman, I'll give it to you. And he gave it to her because she went into the city, and this woman had some reputation. And the whole city came out because she told them about the Lord. And then they said, look, we haven't believed because of her. We believe now because we met you. But she went in and said these words to them. She says, come see a man that told you all things that ever I did. Never I knew. My friends, I tell you as a preacher tonight, I'm not trying to preach down to you. I'm not trying to tell you that you're a sinner worse than I am. My friend, I may have been worse than you before I got saved. But I want to tell you this, my friend, tonight. All I want to do is take your hand to the and put your hand in the hand of the man who stills the waters, who calms the storms, who puts peace in lives where it should be, who puts joy down in the depths of man's soul, who satisfies the longing urges of mankind, who sets us on a road that is an upward road, with a spring in our step, with our shoulders square, and with a heart that is pulsating with praise, because Almighty God is living there. That's why I wanted to tell you about it. I want to introduce you to my friend, the Lord Jesus, and I know that He did it for me, and He can do it for you, and He can shackle us, get rid of our shackles and our heavy burdens. And so we discover then that God loved us, because we have to look at the height of which man fell from. And we discover that man fell from being created by Almighty God and controlled by Him and communing with Him. Can you imagine what it was to go out for Adam to go out and walk, and his companion was Almighty God? Can you imagine when you walked in that garden to discover that the person who called your name was Almighty God? Adam, where are you? Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, calling you by name. Adam, where are you? And then coming and communing with Almighty God. What a height he fell from. And what a depth he fell into. Bondage instead of liberty. Boldness instead of humility. And barrenness instead of fertility. They went out, and my friend, suddenly they knew all about weeds and the problems that comes because of sin. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that is so true today, and it's been time and time and time again. A friend of mine came recently to me quite disturbed about a situation with a young man. Young married man in his 20s. He had been having an affair with one of the ladies' secretaries in the office and had gone off with her. And his boss had fired him on the spot. He lost his job. He had a lovely wife, beautiful children. And here they are, just left with absolutely nothing. And there was a verse that came to my mind. This can be applied to any area of life. And this is a verse, and God says, the way of the transgressor is hard. And you know, my friend, sin may seem sweet for a moment. And emotions may seem great for a moment. My friend, the drug addict has his tremendous highs for his moments. But oh, my friend, you know the tragedy is that he's got to live with phenomenal lows. A friend of mine I was speaking with recently, his boy went on drugs when he was 15 years of age. He's 18 years of age now. I said, tell me about it, brother. He's been all over at seminars with the kid. He stood with him. He stood by. I've never seen a father who's done anything like this boy has done for his son. He even reported him to the police. That was the only way he could, for the benefit of the child, for the young man, put him in cells. He said, that's the only way we could get him off. You know what it did to him? You know what the moment of ecstasy? You know what the height of getting a high on drugs had given him? It made him a liar. Because you begin to tell lies to cover up. It made him a thief because you begin to steal to get more money to do it. You know what? This high, this wonderful experience, this feeling of ecstasy for a moment of time has done in this young man's life, it has ruined him, and it has turned his whole life into lying, cheating, and stealing. You know, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is harsh. And we have fallen. Let's be honest, my friends. If we think our society is wonderful, don't you believe it? You think it's wonderful because you are not dealing with the problems that are in this society. But when you begin to talk with the people who are dealing with the problems in this society, my friend, you discover there are problems that we have sunk down into the gutter. And that's what man did. He fell right down there. And the steps by which he fell were, one, deceitfully listening to slander against God. You don't believe what God says. I thank God I do, because it makes my life different. But number one, deceitfully listening to slander against God, doubting God's word and his love, deliberately looking at what God had forbidden, determinately lusting after what God had forbidden, and disobeying God's commandments. I believe it was Ted Koppel who at Duke University there, the commencement address, said, God give us 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. And the reason there were commandments, my friend, because when we follow the handbook that God has given us for daily living, do you know what? That principles that God has given us in his book, the Bible, will give us a satisfied, saved, sanctified life. And we had fallen. There we are, right down. Do you know what the Bible says? God so loved. I think this illustrated was to me so beautifully in this father that I talked to just 2 weeks ago. This man has become such. I just passed through it. And I was fascinated because I just didn't see. I'm not acquainted with too many things. So I stop and I look because it makes me worldly wise, but I want to be spiritual wise, but I want to see what the world is doing. I saw a man lose $5,000 just within one roll of a dice. $5,000. Wouldn't you like that $5,000 tonight? I would have given him a whole pack of dice. They have 2 rolls. I'll take the 5. Oh, my dear friends, we see. Oh, we see the frustration. You know, he's a high roller. There were others who were losing more than that. My friends, the thing is this, that we may not be in the guttermost, we may be on a higher up level, and we're managing to hide it a wee bit better than somebody else. But this is not the point. The point is this, my friend, that we have sunk in whichever state we are, and there's a God in heaven who loves us tonight. And this boy said, hey, I've had enough of this stuff. I've had enough of the pig's food. My father's servants are better off than I am. And I will get back to my father and I'll say, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But I'll tell you what I want to be. I want to be your servant, Dad. Let me be your servant. I'll serve you. Because my father's servants are better off than I am. And he comes right home. And when he comes home, do you know what happens? Did his father make him a servant? No, he hugged him. He put a robe on him. He gave him a new suit. He put the ring that distinguished him as a son in the family. And he said, this is my son that was dead and is alive, that was lost and is found. And that is what God is doing. God only demands one thing from you tonight, my friend, in response to his love. He demands that you give him your life. That's what he demands. Do you know, my friends, when you analyze your life and look at it, and sometimes you can see the hopelessness of it, and we cope with our fears, and we cope with our inhibitions, and we cope, my friend, with the burdens of our feelings and our lows. And you say, what have I really got to give God? Have I got to give God my fears, my lows, my sins, my insecurities? Is that what God wants? Yes, he wants it all. Why? Because he's going to make a new man or woman out of you, and he's going to give you a strength to live, and you'll live by the power of his love in you. And how did he prove it? Well, the extensiveness of God's love, that there's nobody here tonight that God doesn't love. In fact, there's nobody in this world tonight that God doesn't love. That's the extensiveness of it. But let me just say this to you. If you love somebody, you express it, don't you? You express it. You know, I used to go, when I traveled the country in Scotland, I'd meet friends who were pharmacies, and they always had perfume departments. I was never, in the early days, and certainly not in these days, in the capacity to go out and buy Chanel just like that. So I would say to my friends, is there any chance in a discount? Well, I had good friends, and a Scottish discount is always a good discount. Usually it was free. I said to him, would you do me a favor, brother? He said, what's that, John? I said, would you write a higher price on the box, on the sticker, for me? And I would used to get them up at by a few, maybe about a, you know, about another 50 pounds or something, like $100 lifted up there, you know. And I take it home to Margaret and I say, look, honey, I just want to tell you how much I love you, and this is an expression of my love, and I want to give you this, and I give it to her, and I say, oh, I'm sorry, I left the sticker on. Did you pay this for this? Well, that's love, dear, you know. And although my wife catches on quickly, I came in this is Valentine's Day just a year ago with the biggest box of chocolates you've ever seen in your life. Talk about love. You ladies are skeptical. You know, we try hard, us guys, to prove love. And I came in with the biggest box of chocolate shaped in a heart that you've ever seen in your life. I walked into the house and said, honey, here's you. You thought, I said, you thought I forgot St. Valentine's Day, didn't you? Well, usually I do. And she said, oh, what's this? I said, I got a present for you. She took it out of the bag. She looked at this big heart. She said, you were in the shop at 5 to 9, weren't you? She said, I said, yes, dear. She said, this was half price, wasn't it? That's romance for you, isn't it? I said, now, would I buy a thing half price for you, dear? Yes. You see, love. And she was too, isn't that right? You see, what we want to do when we love, we want to express love. You know, when we stop expressing our love, and my wife knows when I do these things, they're loving things, because I usually do things in humor. And you see, my friend, I'm expressing love, even if it is half price, I'm still expressing love. But you see, dear friends, I want to tell you this, that God is no exception. If a mere mortal like me can look at my wife and say, listen, dear, I love you, and I just want to indicate that I love you, and this indicates that I love you, then how much more does God love us? And how does he express himself? My friend, the expression of God's love is this, in verse 14 in the chapter that we're reading. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even though so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What are we talking about? We're talking about the cross. For God so loved the world, he gave. What did he give? He gave his only begotten Son. Do you want to know how much God loves you? Do you want to know how much God really cares for you? Then let me take you to a rugged hill outside a city of Jerusalem. Let you hear the cries of men who call for the death of the greatest man that ever lived, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let me take you up to the hill that is barren. Let me take you up to an old rugged cross where men are crying and clamoring after the blood of the greatest man that ever lived, whose only crime was that he made the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the dead to be raised up. And my, that was his only crime. In their books. And let me take you up there as they nail them to the old rugged cross, and they take the hand that stretched out to bless, and they nail it to a cross. And then they take the head, that indeed was a beautiful one, and they put a crown of thorns upon it and lacerate his back and nail him to an old cross. And this is what the Bible says. It says, Christ died for our sins. And this is what the Bible says. Greater love hath no man than this. Oh, how he loves you and me. And I'm going to tell you this, my friend, tonight. You may not know much about love. You might be like a friend of mine. I was preaching on the beach in Scotland one day, and I saw a fellow up there standing on the promenade there. And I said, folks, I'm going to ask this man down to tell you about Jesus. This fellow came down. I said, I want you to tell these people how you came to know the Lord Jesus. He didn't tell everything. He couldn't tell everything public. He was not only in prison, but he was in a Scottish prison that was a psychiatric prison. He was there for murdering his father. He stood on the beach. He didn't tell the whole story, but he told this part of the story. He said, I grew up and I didn't know what love was. I'm sure Captain Sarvis could tell you there are men he's met like that. He said, I didn't know what love was. He says, you know, when I took a girl out, I didn't know what it meant to love her. I didn't know what affection was. I didn't know what it meant to be kind. Because all I had seen in my life was beatings and anger and fighting and backbiting. And he said, when I took a girl out on a date, what I did, he said, I had to hurt her. And the ultimate was, in response to what his father had done to him, he did it to his father. And one day, a friend of ours, Rod and ours, was in that prison. He worked in that prison, and he gave this lad a Bible course. The wardens laughed. They said, you're wasting your time. And this man spent time with this dear boy. And you know what was the biggest shock to this dear boy? Was a thing called love, that there was someone who could love him. He didn't believe there was such a thing in the world. And this man loved him by sticking with it. Not only he loved him, but he said, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. Until there came a point in this young fellow's life that he got saved. At the point that I called him down to the beach, he was working with an evangelical mission in Britain. He later became a Baptist minister, and I just heard a few months ago that he's gone to Africa as a missionary. My, I tell you, he's got a story to tell. Maybe more than you and I have. Because one day he discovered that God's love is real. I ask you tonight, my friend, have you discovered God's love is real? In a few moments we'll be closing our service, but have you discovered God's love is real? And no one ever loved you like Jesus Christ, because every blow of that hammer that knocked the nail into his hand was for your sins. It was for mine. That's why I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Not because I'm on a pulpit here. I'll be out there tomorrow. I'm not ashamed of him. You know why? Because every nail that went into his hand was for me, my friend. Every thorn that pierced his brow was for my sins. Every lash on his back was for my sins. And every spear into his side was for my sins. And you know, when men said, away with him, Jesus said, forgive them. Man, that blows my mind. But someone tonight can take my life and your life and say, forgive them. Not only forgive them, but I don't want to know any more about it. I don't want to know any more about the past. I don't want to know any more about their bad attitudes, any more about their hatred, any more about their sin. I don't want to know any more about it. I love them. Father, forgive them. Do you know what it means to be forgiven? With love, it's another twisted word in our society, isn't it? We're forgetting what it means to be forgiven. I got a call one morning in Rhode Island. Would you come to City Hall? The call came from a woman who was going to commit suicide some time before, turned into a radio program, got saved. She called me. She said, John, you've got to come to City Hall. I've got a woman in the same condition as I was in. You've got to come. I went up there. The manager of City Hall was on vacation. They gave me his office. They brought in this woman. I'd never seen anyone weep so much in all my life. I never seen so much brokenness. I never saw so many tears as she just sat there and wept. Oh, we can sit smug and we can laugh about this old gospel and we can think it's crazy and we don't want any part of it. We can laugh at the love of God. But my friend, I want to tell you, when you sit and see people who are grieving under guilt and they've no release, there's only one message can release them, and that's this gospel. And I said, tell me about it, dear. She said, you can't help me. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I know I can't. But I said, I wanted to tell you, dear, I've got a friend who can. I said, I've got a friend who can. She looked at me. I said, his name's Jesus, but you just tell me, and I'll tell you about him. She began to tell me the story. This is the story she told me. She said, you know, my mother and I had a big fight some years ago. And she says, I've never spoken to my mother since. And I looked at her. I said, let me finish the story. She says, how do you know? I said, this is the end of the story, isn't it? She says, what? I said, your mother's died. She said, yes, sir. The tears were going down her cheeks. I'd never seen it before like that. She said, my mother's died, and I can't put it right. And I've lived with the guilt now, and I can't take any more of this. And she said, I'm just going to take my own life. You see people as desperate as that? Desperate because of a thing called guilt. Oh, she hadn't broken the law, but she had broken a moral law. Their mother was in eternity, and she couldn't put it right. I said, she says, you can't help me, preacher? I said, no. Now let me tell you about my friend. I said, you see, my friend can help you because your sin is not against your mother. Your sin was against my friend. I said, your sin was against God. That's what your sin was against. Because of your broken relationship with God, you're therefore, my friend, the only one who can forgive you right now, and thank God there is hope. I said, although your mother's gone, the only one who can forgive you right now is God. She says, how? And I began to tell her the gospel story, how we had all sinned and Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And I said, he took all our sins and put his own body in the tree. He was God's gift for our sin. And he died on that cross for our sin. And I said, you know, dear, when we come and we confess that we're sinners and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive my sin and be my Savior. When we ask Jesus Christ to step over the threshold of our lives into our very hearts, I said, you know what? He comes in and you know the first thing he does? He forgives us. And I'll never forget this. She looked at me and she said, how can I get it? I said, you just bow your head right now, dear. And I said, you tell the Lord you've sinned against him and your mother. You tell him that. And then you say, Lord, I need your forgiveness today. Come into my life and be my Savior. And she bowed her head. And I'll never forget it. She bowed her head. And she told the Lord that she was just a filthy, rotten sinner. She did that. She made no dubiety about it. She told God. She bowed her head. And then she asked the Lord to step over the threshold of her life to come in and be her Savior. I'm going to tell you, when she lifted her face, there was a different look in her face. Oh, there was tears. There was tears, but the guilt was gone. The guilt was gone. Jesus is in the business of removing guilt. The guilt was gone. She had got saved. She got up, the tears. And I brought my friend in. I said, tell her what happened. She began to tell her excitedly, with the tears still running down her face, how the Lord had come into life. She says, I know. She says, I was in the same position 3 months ago, and I was ready one morning to get up to seal the house. I came into the kitchen to seal the house, to open the gas oven, to put my head in it. And she says, I turned on the radio and I got this crazy preacher. That's what she said to me. She said, I think this guy, it's phony baloney. That was her Americanism. She said he was phony baloney. Nobody can be happy at 9:30 in the morning. And I was saying, hi folks, how you doing? Hey, praise God, isn't it a good day? This woman's ready to take her life. But she said, because of that, I listened to the end of the program. And at the end of the program, I always told them how to get saved. And she trusted the Lord. And I got a letter some months later from a man. He said, I heard your radio program. You're saying you might finish it. Please don't finish it. And I'm going to tell you why you don't finish it. He says, I'm a trucker. And he says, I was in drugs. I went out to get drugs. I had no money. They wouldn't give me drugs because I had no money. I drove into my truck. He says, I was driving to the Braga Bridge. It's between Massachusetts and Rhode Island. He says, I was going to jump off the bridge. He said, I tuned in my radio. And he said, I got the man with the funny voice. That's what they used to call me. He says, at the end of the service on the radio, it was only 50 minutes. He said, I stopped my truck and he said, I give my life to Jesus Christ. This is the marvelous thing. He went home and led his wife to the Lord. He went home and led his wife to the Lord. He said, I want to tell you this. This is 6 months after the incident. I didn't even know about it. He said, I went home and he led his wife to the Lord. He got saved. You know what, my friend? The love of God is in the business of forgiving the sin of man. What about you tonight? As we close right now. What about you tonight? What about you tonight? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not only a matter of getting forgiveness right now, my friends, but it's also a matter of being right with God if you die. Are you ready to meet God? Now, I'm not going to scare you into heaven, but if you die without Christ, you've got hell. That's where you're going. I don't want to scare you into heaven, but I want to get you there because God loves you and loved you when you didn't love Him. And that's the amazing thing that hits every Christian when they become a Christian, is that God loved them when they didn't even care. Couldn't care less about God, and God couldn't have cared more. And He says, whosoever will believe, will you believe tonight? You say, how do I believe, John? Well, you believe, first of all, by realizing that you are a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus, I'm that sinner you died for. And believing that dying on the cross, Jesus took all your sin, your guilt, and unforgiveness, and He put it in His own body, and He died on the cross, it says on the tree, for our sins. And you come and you see Him as the antidote for your problems, and you say, Lord Jesus, I want You to come into my life to be the Savior of my life and take away the sin. I want You to make me a Christian, and by Your precious blood, I want You to make me clean from sin tonight. Come in right now. And save me right now. But that's your decision. Are you prepared to do that right now? Why not let's bow our heads and just let the Lord work in your heart right now. Bow every head and let's pray in a special way. Maybe this moment you want to pray this prayer. Lord, I've realized tonight I'm a sinner. And I realize that You love sinners and You died for sinners. And I've never known that real love. And Lord Jesus, I want You to right now to come into my life. I'm turning away from it. I'm repenting of it. And I want You to save me tonight. There are relationships, Lord, that need to be healed. And only You can do it. There are guilts that need to be removed, Lord, and only You can do it. Lord, come into my life right now. Just ask Him in right now to forgive your sins and make you clean. With every head bowed right now in the place, just as we close, I'm going to ask you right now if God... If you want God in your life, you want to become a Christian, you'd like to get saved tonight, you'd like to get forgiven tonight, you'd like to get right with God tonight. Maybe you prayed that prayer, maybe you didn't, but you want to get right with God tonight. Will you just raise your hand up where you are long enough for me to see it tonight? Will you do that right where you are right now? You're saying, I want to get right with God tonight. Will you do that where you are? I want God's forgiveness in my life. Just raise your hand. Folks are praying, eyes are shut, nobody's looking. We're not making a spectacle of anyone. But I want to say, if you have something you want to get right tonight, why don't you just raise your hand where you are? Let me see it and then take it down. Will you do that right now? I don't prolong appeals, but I'm just pleading with you right now to get right with God. Will you do that right now, please? For your own sake? Wherever you are. Let the Lord have His way. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Oh, the Spirit of God is with us. Is there someone else here tonight? someone else here tonight and you'd like to get right with God. Maybe there's a relationship that you have to get right. Wouldn't this be a wonderful place to get it right on a Sunday night in the house of God? Will you just indicate by raising your hand right now, wherever you are? Join our friends who have indicated tonight they want the Lord to touch their hearts. They want to get right with God. Will you do that as we close this evening? Oh God, we thank Thee for Thy Holy Spirit who works in the hearts and minds of each one of us. Bless us in a special way, our Father, tonight. We feel Your Spirit is working and touching hearts. Oh Lord, let us see Thy hand in mercy and power among us. Encourage the Christians and bless them for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's just sing two verses of that lovely hymn that we've been, a hymn, Just As I Am, 398. 398. We don't prolong appeals, but I believe God has been working. This morning we saw His hand in blessing. My friend, I only preach that you might be blessed. Don't want to coerce you into anything. But if there's anyone here tonight who really needs help, we want you to come and have that help. And this is a wonderful night to do it. We're just going to sing the first and last verses of Just As I Am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. And that Thou bids me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I'm going to ask my colleague Rod Sharp to be at the front here. And if during the singing of this hymn you want to come forward and publicly put it right with God, in the sense that you indicate, we won't make you publicly pray or anything like that, we'll counsel you privately, then you come up. Brother Rod will be at the front. These seats are vacant. You come up during the singing of this hymn. And you come tonight. Just say excuse me to the person next to you. If those who put their hands up are really mean business with God, why don't you come forward too? We'd like to see you forward tonight, that you get right with God. Please do that for your own sake. The only two verses. We're not going to sing it 120 times. Just two verses. But if God has spoken to you tonight, you come. Maybe there's a relationship here tonight that has to be put right. Why not let the Lord put it right and come forward and let's put it right tonight. Just As I Am, 398. Shall we all stand as we sing this? And you come. If you indicated you come tonight, my friend, but you come. If you didn't indicate, you still come. Whatever's in your heart, you come tonight and recommit yourself. You know, we had a lady this morning who trusted the Lord, and she's with us, and I've just seen the change in her heart and her life. I've just seen it in one day, and I don't want to embarrass her, but I would like to say this, and I'm not looking in any direction, that if the Lord has touched your heart today, I know He touched you today, why don't you step forward and we'll pray with you again before you leave tonight and indicate that the Lord has done it. You might be an encouragement to someone else here tonight to step up, but I don't want to embarrass you. And if you don't want to do it, don't do it. But if you feel you can, just step out. Maybe the lady with you will come out with you too and stand with you at the front tonight. And others will come, I'm sure, as well. Would you do that? Okay, thank you. Just as I am, the boldest thing you'll ever do in your life, the best decision you'll ever make in the life, and the most important decision. There's only one decision matters after the millionaire dies, is did he know Christ? It's the only decision that matters. Will you step out tonight and join our friends? God bless you. I see the Lord in the face of our dear one this night. You come. You come right now. The last verse. Thank you. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive. Amen. I'm just going to pray and close with prayer tonight. I want to say we're not in the business of embarrassing anyone, not at all. God forbid that we'd ever do that. But we would like, as others are leaving tonight and after the service is going, we'd like our two friends who put their hands up to come down. And my friend Roderick, he'll be here. And our brother, Mr. Detweiler, he'll be here as well. And we'd like you to come because it's important tonight someone prays with you and shows you. And then anybody else who wants to come, as other folks are going out, you come forward tonight. God bless you. Come tomorrow night. Oh, come tomorrow night. I just think the Lord's going to do a good thing this week. I really believe that. Don't you believe that, Christians? Amen. Are you excited already? Man, I can't wait till tomorrow night. Amen. Praise God, I'm coming. I can't know what I'm going to say, so I'm coming to hear me. And I tell you, I just believe that God is going to bless. Really, I just can't believe it. You know, God gives us these words, and what happens? Lives are changed. Why? Because they're God's words. Let's believe it. And let's come. Let's bring our friends. And when you lead someone of your friendship or your family to Christ, you know what? They're not just grateful. They're eternally grateful because they've got saved. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, reach out and touch hearts and lives tonight. And be with us now in a mighty way. And may you keep us until that day when Christ comes for all those who have been saved by His amazing grace, who have been washed by His precious blood, cleansed from their sins, and, O God, have been born of His eternal Spirit. Lord, tonight, continue the mighty work, for we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be seated for a moment. In just a moment, our organists are going to play right now. I want you to remain seated to allow me to get to the door to shake your hand. And I would like if our friends who put their hand up would come forward after the service and speak with Rod, and I'll be back in a moment. God bless you. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. Be with us. Thank you, dear.